All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Rinkwide Vancouver, pregame, postgame, every game presented by Bodog. From sports odds to free casino games, make a play at bodog.net. Wadden and J-Pat here with you to wrap up the week, as we got some news that is swirling around the Vancouver Canucks. Of course, we'll talk to Patrick Johnston from Post Media, the province, a little bit later on here in the show. We'll get to that big game three of the Stanley Cup final as well. But let's start with what our buddy Dhaliwal is reporting this morning, saying there could be surgery for Ethan Bear on his shoulder. He injured himself at the World Hockey Championships, which we knew about already. But now with this possible surgery looming, boy, could Ethan Bear perhaps be moved on from, could the Canucks move on from Ethan Bear because of this, J-Pat? Or have they painted themselves into a corner that, well, they're going to have to sign him regardless?
Well, it complicates matters, certainly. He needs a new contract, and I know Dhaliwal's reporting, if it's surgery, like, we're talking about months of recovery that would take you well into next season. If you're the Vancouver Canucks, you got to get better right off the hop. And so it complicates matters on that level. Does it make you rethink whether you're going to re-sign Ethan Bear? Perhaps it does give them pause at that point. I'm starting to wonder now, like, does it make people reconsider whether it's a good idea to want the Vancouver Canucks to go to represent their countries at the World Hockey Championship? Last year it was OEL, this year it's Ethan Bear. Both of them got hurt. We know that it hampered OEL's ability to train in the offseason. He was behind the eight ball when he showed up at camp and never really caught up. Is it going to be the same thing for Ethan Bear? And, I suppose, I've always been a proponent, hey, you missed the playoffs, why not go and extend your season? Guys talk about having a good time at the Worlds. Bear ultimately wins a gold medal, but he couldn't play the semifinal or the final. And it's funny, because a week ago he was in Kamloops, he was dropping the ceremonial puck at the Memorial Cup, he was out there in a golf shirt, he looked good, there was no visible signs of damage, and I thought, all right, again, I'm not a doctor here, but just to the naked eye, this guy doesn't look like he's in any sort of distress. And now we're hearing that shoulder obviously isn't responding to treatment the way that he and probably the hockey club would like. Now, Dhaliwal's also saying there is an avenue where surgery may not be required and he could play, but doesn't that, to me, you just came through a season where you picked up Filip Hronek, who was banged up at the time of the trade. He played four games and then they had to shut him down because he wasn't quite right. What are you doing if you're going to let a guy play through the injury next year? Again, this is a team that has to improve and likely has to improve from within. So this changes a fair bit to me, because we're already trying to figure out what does the right side of that Canucks defense look like, and I've always penciled Ethan Bear in, figuring that they were going to get some sort of deal done, but if he's not available to them to start the season, man, if you're Jet Wu or you're Cole McWard, who happens to be celebrating his 22nd birthday today, like, you're sitting up and taking notice of this news, because if Bear can't go, like, if they decide that surgery is the route for him, then absolutely there is an opening on that right side of the Vancouver Canucks defense.
Remember when Elias Pettersson was flirting with the idea of going to the Worlds, and we put out that poll asking whether he should, and people sort of shit all over it? I think it was like 80% saying, yes, he should go. And people going, like, asking us, well, why are you guys even asking this? That's why we're asking this. Could you imagine if it was Elias Pettersson that got a shoulder injury at the World Hockey Championship? Like, I know it's hypothetical, but at the same time, too, again, like you said, there could be pause from the organization to send players now.
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, though, like, how many, 200 guys take part in the World Hockey Championship and two of them get hurt? You know, the odds are low, and there's always the risk anytime you step on the ice. They're hockey players. They want to play. They want to represent their country. They want to get that experience. I mean, Milan Lucic raved about the opportunity that he had never had to represent Canada, to go overseas. You know, Tyler Myers, disappointing regular season here, but kind of puts a different bow on it at the end that, you know, at least there was a payoff. So I don't think it's going to stop guys from going, but I do wonder if it changes the viewpoint of a fan base next year if the Canucks miss the playoffs and guys are available to their federations. Are you like, all right, maybe this is the year that you all just take a step back? But next year it's in Prague, one of the great cities of the world. Like, if I was in that position and my federation asked me, and I'm like, huh? Couple weeks in Prague? Yeah, sign me up. So,
hey, if a sponsor wants to get involved, we'll go. Yeah. We'll go and represent. We will. I got a good buddy that lives in Prague. We might even be able to stay with him. We can cut the costs.
It's an incredible city. I was there a couple of years ago. In fact, I was there when Trevor Linden was amicably split from the Vancouver Canucks. I remember waking up to the news at our Airbnb in Prague. So, no, like, again, I don't think you can ever say to players, hey, don't go because you might get injured. I mean, every time they step on NHL ice, they could get injured. It's just, it's unfortunate for the Canucks that for a second year now, guys think they're doing the right thing and then they get hurt. And ultimately, you know, they do it for the love of their country there, but their paychecks come from these NHL teams. So this is fascinating. It's a really interesting wrinkle. Not good news, because even if you don't think Ethan Bear is, you know, a perfect player, and he's not, but I think he was better than, you know, a lot of what they had, and certainly in my eyes was one of their top three guys on the right side for the Vancouver Canucks. So let's see where it goes, certainly worth monitoring, but yeah, I mean, you know, this news a couple of weeks out, I mean, they have to qualify him here, and they got, I think, three more weeks to do that. And then into unrestricted free agency beyond that. So, you know, again, this just throws a wrench into what was already a pretty cloudy, murky situation for the Vancouver Canucks.
Well, and also, too, if they were thinking perhaps they could just replace Bear with an old Canuck in Luke Shen, well, Dhaliwal also reporting that he's closing in on perhaps signing with the Leafs, looking for a bump in pay, some term, and some trade protection. And I think Toronto can offer him all of that. And listen, if he wants to stay there, and what Dhaliwal's reporting, it looks like perhaps that might be coming down the pike sometime soon here.
Right. And so if you thought that was a plan B in any sense for the Canucks, and we spent some time on a recent episode talking about, you know, like, well, maybe this changes the calculus on Kyle Burrows or Noah Juulsen. Like, right now, it felt for the longest time like the Canucks were going to walk away from those guys. Well, hold the phone. You know, they still have the negotiating rights. Neither one of them has hit unrestricted free agency and won't until July the 1st. But you wonder if they're going to be forced to double back here. Because we said it's quite a gap from Philip Hronek, Tyler Myers, Ethan Bear, just in terms of age and experience, to Jet Wu and Cole McWard and Philip Johansson as right side guys. And that's where I thought Luke Shen maybe slots back in, a veteran, familiar with the system, low maintenance, liked and respected in the locker room, brings that element of toughness that Rick Tocchet talked about. Like, I think Luke Shen did check off a number of boxes, but that's out of the Canucks' control right now. If he decides that Toronto is the fit for him and he's able to get what he's looking for, You know, this is where teams have to be nimble. They have to be prepared. Things don't exactly fall the way you want them to or expect them to. You've got to have a plan B and a plan C in the event that, you know, some obstacles come your way. So all of a sudden, things heating up for the Vancouver Canucks. Maybe not the way that they anticipated, but this is life in pro sports. So it was already going to be interesting next couple of weeks. This just adds to that and I think complicates that for the Vancouver Hockey Club.
Let's get to that sign and trade that happened down today as well between the Devils and the Blue Jackets. Damon Severson gets signed by the Devils and then flipped over to the Blue Jackets, a third round pick going the other way. An interesting trade though, in terms of, you know, we talked about, or I've mentioned it before, just how those sort of NBA style trades are starting to leak into the NHL. This is a prime example of that right there.
Yeah. Severson was headed for unrestricted free agency and he and his agent wanted the maximum deal. And you know, that's why New Jersey was his current club. They were the only ones that could give him that eighth year, and that's the way it went down. So, yeah, I mean, look, a third-round pick, it's not a huge haul for the New Jersey Devils, but it's something when they knew that a player was going to walk away for nothing. So I think on New Jersey's part, pretty smart. I mean, they've got Simon Nemec just sitting there waiting in the wings, the second overall pick from last year. Like, oh, it's good to be a team that, you know, has depth and has prospects and, you know, can be flexible. And look, the Columbus Blue Jackets have been down so long that I suppose I give Jarmo Kekalainen some credit here. It's been an active week, a busy week for him. It was Provorov the other day. Now it's Damon Severson. And, you know, neither player is a perfect player, as we talked about with Ethan Bear. There aren't many of them in the National Hockey League. So, you know, Severson's going to be 29 here this summer. You give him 8 years, you know, what does the back end of that contract look like? You know, it's wild how sort of just you can connect dots and in the hockey world. And like Damon Severson's yet another guy that played for the Kelowna Rockets. We're talking about Luke Shen. We're talking about Tyler Myers here. That Kelowna, you know, Shea Weber, Alex Edler, Tyson Berry, it's incredible over the years. The Kelowna defenseman factory. And in fact, just with names in the news, Damon Severson played for the Kelowna Rockets while Ryan Huska was the head coach there. And it sounds like Ryan Huska is going to be introduced as the head coach of the Calgary Flames. And Ryan Huska is a good dude. We won't get off topic here, but he was a Kamloops Blazer. So way back when I was calling games, just then he was one of those guys that, you know, you could see was going to get into coaching at some level. Did I think he was going to be an NHL head coach at that point? No. But just a really smart player. One of those guys that played one game in the National Hockey League. So, you know, he got to the show. Can't take that away from him. But sounds like he's going to be back in the show now. And he's paid his dues. Assistant coach in the Western Hockey League. Head coach in the Western Hockey League. Assistant coach at the minor pro level. And then head coach. And then assistant coach in the NHL. And ultimately working his way to a head coaching job. So, sounds like that's going to happen there. But back to Columbus for a sec. Again, like they, you know, they're one of those franchises that just is, sort of feels like it's always out in the weeds, hasn't had much success. Went all in on Johnny Gaudreau last year. That didn't work out. Now, part of that was that they suffered just a ridiculous amount of injuries. And nobody wants to use injuries as an excuse. But like Zach Werenski played 13 games for them last year. That's it. And this is a guy that scored 20 goals from the defense position not that long ago. You know, he is the best thing that they've had there on the back end for a while. And so when he's out for the bulk of the season, that hurts. But this is pretty instructive to me that, you know, there were prices to be paid. And again, are these the right answer? We won't know until Columbus ices its team. But Jarmo Kekalainen, motivated, has really completely reshaped his defense core. Like, it can be done. And, you know, you got to get creative. He was involved in that three-way deal with the Kings and the Flyers the other day, parting with assets, but he had assets to part with to get Provorov. And I think a lot of people thought, all right, like, you know, that's probably their big upgrade on the back end for this offseason. Now they go out and they get Damon Severson. They also got David Juracek, who was a high pick, and they've still got prospects in their system that people are really high on. So, you know, it's not often that you see in today's NHL, you get if they get a full season out of Werenski, they bring in Provorov, they bring in Severson, they, roll out David Juracek, they've essentially, they're going to be able to roll out a brand new top four at the NHL level, which again, you just, no, absolutely. But year over year, you just don't see that much turnover and change in a defense corps for the Vancouver Canucks, who continue just to run it back, it feels like, with the same group and hoping against hope that, there's going to be this improvement that people want to see. So, again, I don't know that the Severson deal is going to age well, but I also don't know that Jarmo Kekalainen will be the guy in charge at the back end of that contract. He's more about the here and the now. Feels like there's a little bit of desperation on some level. It feels like, Jim Benning at the tail end of his tenure with the Canucks, just in terms of, try to go big and trying to go all in to make things better. But, we'll see how all of these guys mesh with Mike Babcock, who's going to apparently be the head coach there in Columbus as well. So all kinds of moving parts for the Columbus Blue Jackets. But, I'm a guy that likes things happening in the National Hockey League, like things to talk about. So I salute Kekalainen and the Blue Jackets. What a busy, busy week for them, going all in and making some significant deals.
Babcock likes his meat and potatoes, though. He'll love Goody. Eric Goodbranson.
But that was a bad contract then. And now you've spent all this money on these other guys and commitments to these other players. Like Goodbranson, there's still 3 years left at $4 million per.
Did he have photos of Kekalainen or something? Like, how the hell did he get that contract?
He's been getting contracts like that for years.
I guess when you're 6'5", 220.
He's a good dude. We always say he's handsome. A handsome guy. And, the high draft pedigree and all that kind of stuff. And he's a right shot. Like, and all of that. But, that contract didn't look great last year. That's when they didn't have Provorov and they hadn't gone out and just the way their top four is shaping up. Like, he is very much a bottom pair defender if he's a regular in their lineup. And that's a lot of money committed, to a third pair guy. So that part of the deal, there are upgrades and that's great. But when you've got those kind of deals on the books, that's not so good for the salary cap and cap management.
Still got Adam Boqvist there and waiting in the wings as well. And he's sort of taken a bit, but as we know with NHL defenseman, it takes a while. And he's a right shot guy too. So yeah, they're doing all right over there at Columbus, but you're right. There is a bit of desperation with some of the moves that they're making. There was some desperation perhaps for others that missed out on the Canucks game-worn jersey auction. I know that you dug into this. You wrote about it. It's up on the Hockey News now. Some big dollars being shelled out for some jerseys, in particular the Elias Pettersson assistant captain one going for the highest bid.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would be surprised that an EP40 jersey was the one that fetched top dollar. Now, I am not a collector, so I don't live in this world at all. More than $3,700. This was a game-worn road jersey with the alternate Captain A stitched on it. So, the Canucks don't designate which game it's from, but you can surmise that it was after the Bo Horvat deal when they made Hughes and Pettersson full-time alternates. So, I'm getting some feedback on Twitter from people that are, that operate in this circle that said $3,700 was sort of, the going rate. The fact that it's got the alternate captain and that's a new thing that previous Pettersson game-worn jerseys wouldn't have had and didn't have, that boosts the value a little bit. This is the road white. People are saying that the black skate obviously is a premium. So if it had been a black skate jersey with the A, that would have gone for more. And then I had somebody say that if they make Pettersson the captain, like the first time that there are game worns available with a C, they figure that'll go for $10,000. So save up, Andrew. Yeah.
Wow.
Don't spend yet. You're going to need $10,000 to get in on an EP40 jersey with the captain C on it. I guess if there was a surprise for me, because there was another Pettersson game worn. This is all this team-based auction as well. It was all done online and it closed late on Thursday night. And I was kind of watching through the day Thursday. Again, I just wanted to see if there was going to be a late flurry of activity. It seems that there was 29 bids for the Petey jersey. It was kind of cruising around $2,250 for most of Thursday. And then I think people were waiting to get their late bids in, and that drove the price up. Ultimately, it finished at $3,765. There was a second EP40 jersey without the A. That one went for $2,365. The surprise, I guess, for me is, though, that a Kuzmenko deal, or Kuzmenko jersey got more than Quinn Hughes. There was a Quinn Hughes with the A on it as well, and, you know, it went for $2,268, a Kuzmenko jersey, $2,421 was the winning bid there. So,
do you think it's because it was his essentially rookie season? And, you know, if you're a collector, it's like, well, this was, you know, his first year in the NHL. I don't know. I don't know if that makes any more, you know, like.
Yeah, that very well may have played into it. And again, the Canucks don't designate which game particularly. So somebody said, you know, there are ways, I don't know if I would have to find out a little bit more to try and match it up with video or photos. I don't know if there's like marks on it or something. So,
do they wash these things? Like, do you get the actual stink of them too? Or like,
I'm guessing that it probably has been laundered. I think they do laundry after most games, but I did ask as well, like, would a Pettersson jersey or would an autograph, would a signed Pettersson jersey bump the value? And somebody pointed out to me that like the true collectors, they want them untouched. They don't want the autograph.
Oh, really?
But then there were a lot of people are saying, hey, if I'm ponying up that kind of dough, it's BS that the Canucks don't have them all signed. That should be part of. But then somebody said, like, Pettersson, and I know, I guess, enough. I've seen enough. Again, I'm not in the collector's world. But if you walked up to Pettersson and said, hey, I bought this jersey, can you sign it? He would probably attach your name to it to personalize it so that it keeps it from, you know, the resale market, that if it's just a general signature, then it gets passed around. But these players, I think they recognize that, you know, that they're part of the show here. And if they put their signature on it, if they make it personal to you, it's tougher for you then to turn around and make big coin off their backs, right? And then it's your jersey. It's for your personal collection at that point. Again, when I saw that these things were going up for bid, I kind of wondered, there are people out there with that kind of dough to spend, and, you know, does it appreciate if Pettersson has, you know, if he reaches new levels, if he has a couple more 100-point seasons, does that do anything to, you know, like if he becomes one of the, he's already knocking on the door, but if he becomes one of the true superstars in the game, like, you know, can his game-worn jersey from this past season, his first 100-point season, you know, can it appreciate? Somebody said, yeah, it can, but it's more about watching to see what happens with that Captain C.
The most bid on was the second, the one without the A. There was 44 bids on that one, but it didn't go for the highest, as you mentioned.
Right. I think there were people that were like, I can get in at this level.
There were a bunch of guys that just didn't get any bids. I'm not going to run through them. It's kind of embarrassing for them. But I'd like to acknowledge Colin Delia had one bid on his, and his jersey ended up going for $700. So congratulations to somebody who got themselves a Colin. Do you got any sort of memorabilia?
Very little. It's not something I'm the guy that doesn't like clutter. I'm trying to get rid of things generally. You know, I've got a Memorial Cup ring. I do.
Love that.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool keepsake.
Can you wear that on the pod one day just to show it off?
I can. I will bring it to the next pod. We don't record on the weekends, but sometime next week I will.
Polish her up over the weekend. Yep. Pull her out of the storage there.
Yeah, I mean, there have been a few things along the way that I've picked up. But again, really, I live in my own personal world, a pretty simple life of I don't like clutter and stuff. And so, you know, like guys that have had like framed jerseys and things on the office wall, like, yeah, that's cool. Like, but that's just not something. There's no magic collection behind the backdrop there.
One guy on my baseball team is a big time collector. Like, he loves flipping stuff.
Yeah.
And he got me a signed Mickey Mantle card. It's got the authenticity, like that it was actually Mickey Mantle, but it says to Andrew Mickey Mantle. What Andrew? Who knows? But it's mine now.
You know, it's a podcast here, so yes, I can show you the Memorial Cup ring, but this isn't generally a video podcast, so I don't know.
Oh, no, well, we can put it up. I know the guy that runs the socials. We could get a photo of it and put it up there.
Applewood Auto Group is celebrating 25 years of business, making the car business and our communities better. Applewood offers the best in-class experience, whether you're looking for a car, service, or to join our team. Come find out why it's all good at Applewood. Visit us online at applewood.ca today. The BC Lions are back in the playoffs and hosting the Calgary Stampeders on Saturday, November 4th at BC Place. Kickoff at 3:30 p.m. Looking forward to this one. Playoff football, BC Place. The Lions and that offense with Vernon Adams at the controls and all of those weapons he has in his receiving core. And you just think about the atmosphere in that building with the fans behind them. The dome will be rocking. Should be a ton of fun. Tickets on sale now at bclions.com. And check this out. They start at just $30. And kids 17 and under can get in for 15. So bring the noise, fill the dome.
We have been doing this Best Buy contest for a couple weeks now, JPAT, and we do have the winners. The last two winners. Want to say congratulations to Surrey Ryan at Ryan Chand on Twitter and just Cat at Canucks Sedines on Twitter. You guys are taking home $50 gift cards to Best Buy, and many thanks to Best Buy Canada for supporting this. And yeah, $50 can go a long way there. I don't know if it could pay for this guy, though. He's kind of expensive. Patrick Johnston here joining
breaks
us
the
now
bank
from the province. He's, listen, we're tapped out here over at Rinkwide Vancouver. That's why we can only do it once a week with you there, PJ. But trust me, we know it's gold each and every time joining us now. Listen, there's a bit of news sort of trickling around the Canucks right now. And of course, this is Rick Dhaliwal's season. Right. And Dolly reporting today that Ethan Bear perhaps could be facing surgery for that injury that he sustained at the World Hockey Championship. I mean, Jeff and I were batting it around earlier here in the pod. Like, you know, perhaps this might give them pause to re-sign Ethan Bear.
I don't know. 25-year-old defenseman. Like, guys get hurt. That happens. It might hurt his bargaining power. But I don't know. It's always tough to read with these things. I mean, guys, I mean, the one thing we know, and we have seen this, you know, what, every season? I don't even know. Certainly just about every season I've been covering the team, there is someone who has to get surgery at the end of the season. They come back. They have a not very good season. And at the end of the following season, they say, I came back too soon. So I think that's the thing I'll be watching for now. You know, if it's a shoulder issue or whatever, I mean, I guess you can still skate. I guess you can still ride the bike, but it's not ideal. And that, I think more than anything, that is the concern for Ethan Bear. And, you know, for the Canucks, this is a guy that, you know, is he going to play with Quinn Hughes? You know, you try to shake things out. How does him and Hronek and Tyler Myers, assuming Tyler Myers is still here, how do those guys shake out on the right side? And with a Canucks team that clearly thinks they are going to be in the play, they should be in the, or I mean, they think they'll be in the playoffs next year. I mean, Patrick Helvin's pretty much said so. And if they're not, that's, you know, on him. This is a real wrench in the works. And so what do you do? You know, I mean, obviously I know you guys were talking about Luke Shen last time out, but you know, is Luke Shen, you know, does this make the Luke Shen return, if that's a thing? More likely, probably, because, you know, there is a dependable, you're going to need someone who's dependable. You need someone who's going to be able to sort of swing in and out of the lineup. Maybe it makes Kyle Burrows more attractive. You know, to me, it's the knock-on effects more than anything versus whether he gets re-signed or not.
But are we looking perhaps too within with the Canucks and not sort of out, like in terms of replacing him, right? Like, his, you mentioned these names, and although Dhaliwal's reporting that Shen perhaps is close with the Leafs right now in signing him back, and you bring up Kyle Burrows, and that's a good point with Burrows, but you know, maybe we're looking too much at what we or what they already had and not enough at what's out there.
I think the thing to recognize at the end of the day, though, is that the kind of guy that you're realistically chasing after, unless you're ready to move on from Bear, the guy that you're realistically chasing is, you know, a bottom of the order kind of guy, a guy that is in that range. And yes, I mean, that's why you don't overpay to retain any of these guys, right? That was one of the reasons they went out, and, you know, Jim Benning did, but Jim Benning went out and got Luke Shen in the first place, was that here's a guy that they know and they liked and was willing to come on a cheap deal. And whether his price is still the same, we don't know. You know, but he is in that range of players. And this is how the world of the cap is finally slowly but surely shaking out. And, you know, guys at that range, at that end of the lineup, kind of have to take what they can. And if there aren't any suitors, then there aren't any suitors. There's enough guys that kind of fill that role. Kyle Burrows being, you know, an example of exactly that. Lucked into his job a little bit and proved he could be a dependable guy and is probably in that mix, but it's going to be tough for him to win a race.
PJ, and I know you guys have been writing at the Province, sort of featuring each of the Canuck players through the offseason here and looking sort of where they fit and what to expect. This team went out and spent a fair bit to bring in Filip Hronek, and we saw him for 4 games at the end of March when clearly he wasn't fully healthy, and then they shut him down. Just in your mind, like, what do you think they have in Filip Hronek?
I'm really not sure. I mean, I talked to people who've watched him a lot more than I have. You know, we saw a glimmer of the puck skills. We know that he is a talented puck mover. He's a guy that likes to skate with the puck. That's certainly the Canucks, something the Canucks needed more of. You know, we heard the sort of anecdotal stuff from his teammates about how hard he works in practice, and certainly a guy that, you know, I think came in with wanting to prove something, especially because he had been dealing with a shoulder issue. You know, say, hey, look, I'm good. You know, guys are going to do that. That's an instinctual thing. To me, that remains the question is, you know, how much more is there defensively? I wrote about him the other day, sort of saying, who is he? And you go and look at his numbers in Detroit. Now, Detroit have been mostly a god-awful team. And so it's really hard to assess players on god-awful teams. And at, you know, sort of the I suppose the worst thing you could say about him was that the team wasn't any worse with him on the ice. He was on the ice and things sort of carried on. Whether, you know, is he a guy that if defensively you put him on a better team, and I think the Canucks would like to believe they can be a better team. Of course, we haven't seen that. They've been one of the worst defensive teams in the last couple of years. You know, is he a guy that's going to move the meter in the right direction? That's the question that I'm looking for, that I'll be looking to see. I think we know that he'll certainly help the breakouts. And part of the theory I think we've seen here is that the Canucks themselves have said, this is a thing that we need to be better at. We need to control the puck better. We need to move the puck out of the better zone better so that we're not getting caught up in our own end all the time. And, you know, we, of course, to go back to Ethan Bear, I mean, that was some of his postseason comments, was saying, you know, I showed up and there was no plan. Nobody really knew what to do. You'd ask a guy, what am I supposed to do here? And he'd be like, I don't know. And that, you know, it was his point. You know, that was the structure issue. There was no sort of common sense of what they were trying to do. We certainly get the impression that at least under Tocchet and Adam Foote, that there was more, at least sort of a common cause, if you will, in terms of what they were doing when they were on the ice. And so, you know, he'll get a training camp and get some preseason games and get into the season, and we'll see at that point if he's made a difference. I think he's still very much an open book. Like I said, we know he can move the puck. He was having a great offensive season in Detroit. That's big. The Canucks, you know, need players that can move the puck. They struggled with that. But I think we still don't quite know quite what he'll bring to the table here, because in the end, he's not going to be running the power play. And that was a big thing for him in Detroit.
It'll be interesting too. I mean, we've seen here in the playoffs, Vegas had 3 goals from defensemen in the first 2 games. Brandon Montour scored as a defenseman for Florida last night. Canucks were dead last in the NHL in goals from their defensemen. You know, I think that's an area, like, and I'm not expecting him to be a 20 goal scorer, but I do think that's an area that he can bring a little bit of a different look. Also, I wonder, like, the people that I've talked to that have seen him, and I'm like you, like, you know, people have watched him a lot more than I have. But people say, you know, he's physical at his size, but does he address this toughness issue in any way that Rick Tocchet has on his wish list?
I mean, I think conventionally, no, certainly plays hard. And, you know, you want guys that play hard, sure, absolutely. Right. But, you know, part of the modern defenseman game is this positional thing. I talked a little bit about this on Scaris and Price the other day. Like, you know, you would like to see more hits. I think Hronek is a guy that certainly wants to play physically. Is he going to knock you down on your butt the way Luke Shen did? I mean, Luke Shen's an outlier in that as well. So I don't know. I think at the end of the day, it's about what, you know, your ability to sort of deny the other team opportunities. And that's what the Canucks, certainly in the first half of the season, really struggled. I think they were a little bit better under Tocchet. And we know management believes, you know, that word structure, they believe will be the secret to their success. If they're, and it's not a shock, you know, the better you are sort of preventing the other team from scoring, the better chance you're going to have to win. It's not exactly rocket science here. So, yeah, is like I said, that's what comes back to me. That's the one sort of question I think I have coming from Detroit. Is he a guy that, you know, is he a guy that, you know, was doing a competent job? It's not, like I said, the Red Wings were not great as a unit. When he was on the ice, they were no worse. It wasn't like it was a night and day change though. And, you know, sometimes that's just about the group of players you have. And sometimes that's about the players themselves. I think in his case, it was more about the players involved. The other dilemma on him, actually, just to add one more point, was last year he was playing less. Mo Sider taking a lot of his minutes. You know, he just was not being asked to play as big of a role. And that's not a knock against him. That's just Mo Sider, I think everyone would say, if you had to pick, which defenseman do you want? I think you're going to pick Mo Sider. But, that gave me pause. He did play a little bit less, and okay, a little less defensive pressure, I suppose. And I think that is a role that we'll see him play in Vancouver. It didn't hurt his game, but there wasn't a tangible, massive effect on his defensive game either.
Yeah, the Canucks' new catchphrase for next year, just going to be structure. That's it, right? Just structure right across the T-shirt. Yeah, exactly. Lastly here, would you pay $3,700 for a game-worn jersey for any athlete? Is there anybody that you would pay for that?
I'm the wrong guy to ask.
Yeah?
I'm the wrong guy to ask. I've never been a jersey guy. You know, Paul Chapman is the guy to ask because he's a guy who's always loved memorabilia. And on the old Province Sports Radio, our old podcast, this used to come up all the time. In some of the shenanigans that he and Jonathan McDonald would get up to at charity auctions and things like that. I currently have a early 1990s Canucks sweater that I believe has Ryan Walters' signature on it. Because I bought it. I think it's Ryan Walter. Oh. I haven't asked Ryan if it's him, but I'm pretty sure it's him. But I picked it up at Value Village for a friend's 40th birthday party years ago. And, you know, and so, like, that's one. I had a Kings jersey when I was, like, 10 because, you know, the black and silver was cool. And that's it. And I had a Kimmich Vostrasenko jersey once because, you know, that was, you know, finding yourself a Russian league jersey in the mid-90s seemed like something kind of nifty. But, like, no, I've never been a jersey guy, so I'm really not the guy. Is that what these Canucks game-worn?
That was the highest one, $3,765 for an Elias Pettersson game-worn one with the A there. So there you go.
Yeah, you can put it up on the wall. To go way back, I don't know if you remember this one, Jeff, but I was involved in the hunt for Mike McKenna's jersey.
I
helped Mike. I know a couple guys that are collectors, and they sort of were able, we think this guy has it. And poor Mike tried, hit a dead end, the guy wouldn't get back to him. But someone wanted Mike McKenna's, you know, is it, if you sit on the bench, is that game worn? Cause Mike sat on the bench for two nights, Jeff and I were there. Does that count as game worn?
I think it does. Sure. I think you're in the warm up and you were wearing it during a game as opposed to just one of the, you know, game issued ones. I think there's a distinction to be made, but if you wore it while the game was going on, that's game worn.
Yeah, so anyway, someone paid money for Mike McKenna's jersey. So, you know, I am not shocked to hear that people are paying $3,700 for Elias Pettersson. I get the Mike McKenna, you know, it's a quirky little item, but I don't think anybody's chasing after him. And Mike's a great guy. I love talking to Mike. No, so to be clear, not mocking or making fun of him, but, you know, that was the lesson for me forever. If someone's going to pay whatever it was at the team store to get that thing, you know, people are going to throw all kinds of money at stuff.
Well, this was a $3,700 hit from you. All right. Well done, PJ. And you just send the invoice to GoGoat Sports, not to us.
Sounds good.
The BC Lions are back in the playoffs and hosting the Calgary Stampeders on Saturday, November 4th at BC Place. Kickoff at 3:30 p.m. Looking forward to this one. Playoff football, BC Place. The Lions and that offense with Vernon Adams at the controls and all of those weapons he has in his receiving core. And you just think about the atmosphere in that building with the fans behind them. The dome will be rocking. Should be a ton of fun. Tickets on sale now at bclions.com. And check this out. They start at just $30 and kids 17 and under can get in for $15. So bring the noise. Fill the dome.
Drink Wad Vancouver is presented by Bodog, the place to make a play on free casino games and sports odds. Let's get into some playoff talk, though, J-Pat. Stanley Cup final talk. The Panthers, the Cats, staying alive with a 3-2 overtime victory, cutting VGK's lead in the series to 2-1. Carter Verhaeghe with the OT winner. But the story, I think, really kind of was Matt Tkachuk, really. He gets the game tying goal late with just over 2 minutes left in the game, but he got lit up in the first period by Kolesar, ended up missing some time, came back in the second period, and then just did Matt Tkachuk things in that game. I was completely wrong when it came to the amount of shots on goal, but I think I was right in terms of, you know, saying that goalie Bob was at least going to steal a game in the series because he definitely stole that one.
Yeah, Bob was back. Sure, Tkachuk is in the middle of things for the Panthers, but to me, Bob was the story there. They don't win that game without his performance, particularly in the second period. He was outstanding, and so now he's given Vegas something to think about. Is earlier playoff Bob back, or was it a one-night appearance? Whatever the case, that game reminded me so much of Game 7 against the Boston Bruins when the Panthers were down, needed a late goal, go to overtime. Oh, yeah, Carter Verhaeghe, and Aiden Hill's been so good in these playoffs. The game winner, you'd like to think that that was one that maybe he could have stopped. There's bodies in front and traffic going to the net, and easy for me to sit in an armchair and say, oh yeah, you should stop that in overtime in the Stanley Cup final. But he's been saving everything that, he had raised expectations. I guess I just figured he'd make that save. Whatever the case, Golden Knights have only themselves to blame. They got the questionable call with 11 seconds left in the third period, so they started overtime on a power play and didn't really do anything with it. And then credit to the Panthers. They have a first Stanley Cup final victory in franchise history. It's taken them a couple of decades to get there. I was worried, though. I was thinking to myself, which would be more painful, ultimately, getting to two Game 7s and losing, like the Canucks, or going through two Stanley Cup finals and getting swept and never having a victory? And I think most people would say, oh, Game 7, like that's the painful part. But think about it from a fan, at least Canuck fans, they got to ride the roller coaster of emotions to get to Game 7s and had some wins to get excited about. You're the Florida Panthers.
Nah, if you're going to kill me, just kill me right away. Just don't draw it out. don't make me suffer. Just put me away. No, I disagree. I think the Game 7 losses are worse. Listen, my Bodog best bet was bad as well. I had Aiden Hill over 30 and a half saves. He only had him to make 20. And the VGK outshot the Cats at 27-23.
And I'm with you on like the Game 7 losses. I mean, come on, you're that close. But you think about it, like it's taken them 2 decades to get back to a Stanley Cup final. And it looked like if Vegas had won last night, I think they probably would have swept. And then you're like, really? Like 8 games in the Stanley Cup final and you haven't had a single win to get excited about, but they changed all that. That's a moot point now. They got their win and they are right back in this thing. Like, you know, like I said Vegas in 5. I'm going to stick with that. It's playing out that, you know, I think we both agreed that if, because we didn't. You thought that Vegas would get 3 and then Florida would rise up. I kind of figured they had to have the one win last night. So let's see where it goes from here. But, you know, we got a series again. And that, from a hockey fan's perspective, that's good news.
I'm hoping that Florida can tie the series. I want to see it go the distance. I'm not done with hockey just yet. My best bet today is around golf, though. Because as we record this right now, he's on course, but he's still the outright leader. And I've been refreshing Bodog just to make sure that the odds haven't changed. Or, because guys are on course right now. But I got Corey Connors to win this right now. He's at plus 650. He's minus 6 as we record this. He's on course. So, listen, if you, you know, you're listening to this, you're probably not going to get the odds that I'm saying right now, but I'm going to place the bet right now because I want that plus 650. And not only that, I want to see a Canadian win this contest or this tournament. So we'll see if Corey Connors, I can pull that off. And honestly, he's on my TV right now. He's at dash five on the fourth hole here as they head into the weekend, but he is definitely going to make the cut. Let's see if Corey Connors can pull this one out. Of course, all our playoff talk and the Stanley Cup final talk is presented by Jason Hominick at jason.mortgage.
And maybe we get a playoff at the RBC Canadian Open. True. When all is said and done. Yeah. Adam Hadwin had a nice round. He had off at a terrible start in round one, but since then reeled it back in, and he's going to be on the leaderboard somewhere heading to the weekend as well. Not the greatest of weather in Toronto for...
Hey, if you feel good about Hadwin right now, because his round's done for the day... Yep. He's at plus 2,000.
There you go.
There's some great value there.
Yeah, and there's good value, great value, in fact, in dealing with Jason Hominick, because this guy has the answers about mortgages. That's what he does. It's what he's been doing for the better part of 30 years. And we talk him up every day here on the program, but for a reason, because he wants to help you. And mortgages are more complex than ever. There are so many options out there, so many moving parts. You're not expected to have all the answers. Like, I think some people think, oh, I can figure this out. I'm going to do it myself or whatever. No, we're talking about big money, the biggest investment most people are going to make in their lifetime in a home. And you want to have the advice of a pro on your side. And that's where Jason Hominick rolls into this equation. So reach out to him, start with a phone call, and see what he can do to help you and your family get the best value, to save money, whatever the case. Reach out with a phone call. Jason.mortgage is the website. All his contact info is listed there.
And you know I'm not doing it by myself. Any sort of math?
Yeah, exactly.
Not happening. All right. Yeah, looking forward to this weekend. Big weekend, of course, to see if Florida can get themselves back into this year, get things evened up as they play game four on Saturday night. We'll be back, though, on Monday with another edition of the Rinkwide Vancouver podcast presented by Bodog. For Jeff Patterson, I'm Andrew Wadden. Remember, Rinkwide is the show. But all this goes.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.